What you're about to listen to is just a glimpse of what takes place on the weekend. We'd love for you to join us at one of our three locations, Fairfax, Clarksburg, Maryland, or online. For weekend experience information, go to fairfax.cc or download the Fairfax app. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
All right, you can have a seat. Welcome to Fairfax. We're glad you're with us today. Those of you who are watching online, we're glad that you are with us. Those that are out in the great room, welcome to Fairfax today. So, this is baptism weekend. Can we give it up for baptism weekend? This is the weekend that I think most closely just reflects who we are as a church and why we are in existence. We are in existence to love people and to see them raised to life in Christ. And folks who are being baptized in all four of our services this weekend, they have all been raised to life in Christ. And we celebrate that. This ancient act of baptism that for 2,000 years has been the declaration of the people of God, of the power of God to transform lives. And one of the things that almost always happens when we do baptism services, and I just want to, so we have some folks who are here today who came and they made the decision, they signed up and they've come prepared to get baptized and all of that, and we celebrate that. But we know that there are some folks who have walked into this space today, maybe that are out in the great room today, and you didn't come necessarily thinking that this was the day that you were going to get baptized, but that God is at work in your lives. And almost every time we have baptism, there are folks that God just kind of taps on the shoulder and says, today's the day. Like, this is the day. I know you've been thinking about it. I know you've been maybe praying about it, but like, this is the day for you to give testimony to the redeeming, restoring, transforming work of Jesus Christ in your life. And all I would just say is that if God begins to work in your heart today and you're one of those folks, I just want you to, here's what I just ask you to be, just be in the yes position to God. Whatever it is that God is saying to you. And don't worry about the logistics. We got the logistics of all of that covered. If God taps you on the shoulder and says, today is the day, we've got clothes, we've got folks that will help you know where to go get changed, all that kind of stuff. All the logistics are taken care of. All that you have to really be responsible for is just your posture towards God. And we talk all the time about being the yes position to God, and no weekends is that more important than baptism weekend. We just want you to be in the yes position to him. In fact, I just want to, let's just pray for that for a second. God, it's already been just an incredible weekend as we have given testimony and borne witness to those who have been transformed by you. And now as we enter into this 11:15 service, this last service of Sunday morning here at Fairfax, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open. We know that you have something to say to every single one of us, and may all of our hearts be open to you, whatever it is that you want to say, that we would be in the yes position to it, that we would recognize the sacredness of the moment, and that we would say yes to you. And we pray this in the name of Christ. And everyone said together, amen. All right, we're in the third week of this series called Hidden. And as we talked about the last 2 weeks, that this series is coming from Matthew 13, one chapter where Jesus tells a bunch of parables, a bunch of stories that are about the kingdom of God. And they're all stories about things that are hidden, hidden seed, hidden weeds, hidden power that we're going to be talking about today, hidden potential, hidden treasure, all things that are hidden. And the reason that that's important to talk about is that some of the most important things that happen in our life are the things that aren't visible. They're the things that are not newsworthy. We don't see them on the news. Sometimes there are things that we maybe don't even notice. There's stuff that's beneath the surface. Small stuff, seemingly insignificant stuff sometimes, but things that God is doing and accomplishing in our lives that if we allow God to work, can change the trajectory of our lives. And Jesus in Matthew 13 does something very interesting. He talks about the kingdom. I mean, the whole Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are all about the kingdom. But in Matthew 13, He talks about the kingdom in this kind of way. He talks about the kingdom as this hidden kind of reality. And for those that maybe were not here the last couple of weeks, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about, here's what we're talking about in a nutshell. We are talking about God entering in to this world to heal the brokenness in every dimension of life, to heal every area of brokenness in every dimension of life. Social brokenness, economic brokenness, cultural brokenness, physical brokenness, emotional brokenness, relational brokenness, spiritual brokenness, the brokenness of our relationship with the God who created us. It's God, the kingdom of God is God entering into this world to bring about healing in every area of brokenness, in every dimension of life. And what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 13 is he's reminding us that unlike the kingdoms of this world that are highly visible, that impose their rule on the citizens of that kingdom, that on the surface, the kingdom of God often seems small and insignificant, like a seed, like a little tiny seed. In fact, three of the four parables that we're looking at are about seeds, because that's the way Jesus talks about the kingdom. It's like this little seemingly insignificant thing, like a seed. But over time, it not only has the power to transform our lives, but has the power to transform the world, to literally change the world. And the first week we talked about how if this kingdom of God is going to take root and have an impact, it has to be planted in the right kind of soil, in the right kind of heart. It has to be planted in a receptive heart. And we talked about how if it's planted in a hard heart, a heart that perhaps has been exposed to the gospel, can explain the gospel, can maybe even debate the gospel, but is not receptive in the sense that it hasn't internalized the gospel, that oftentimes that the kingdom then simply does not take root and it cannot bring about transformation and change. The kingdom always brings about transformation and change. And we talked about how if it's planted in a shallow heart, a heart that's emotionally receptive, maybe quick to receive, but never really gets rooted in biblical truth and theological understanding, then when difficulties come, challenges come, it just kind of withers and goes away. And if it's planted in a divided heart is a heart that loves God, but it loves other things as much as it loves God. And oftentimes what happens over time is those other things that we love as much as we love God begin to crowd out God in our lives. But if it is planted in a receptive heart, a heart where Jesus has been allowed to prepare the soil, and he is the only one who can cultivate the soil. The gardener is the only one who can change the condition of the soil. And if it's planted in a receptive heart, then it will bring about 30, 60, 100 fold. In other words, it will take the gifts and talents and passions that we have and use them to their fullest potential. I talked the first week about the fact that one of the greatest tragedies of life is that people, even who have their ticket punched for heaven, people who even have the eternal issue settled because they've invited Jesus Christ in their life, oftentimes we do not live up to the potential that we have because we are not allowing God's seed to take root and to grow in our lives. And then last week, I think Kyle did an amazing job taking on a really challenging passage of Scripture, this passage of Scripture that talks about the weeds growing, that the tares, the weeds growing among the wheat, and like what should we do with that, and talked about how this Jesus talks about how the enemy often comes in and plants weeds in the same place where God has planted the seeds of the kingdom. And so at the same time that the kingdom of God is growing, brokenness is growing. At the same time that the kingdom of God is growing, evil is growing. At the same time that the kingdom of God is growing, sin is growing. And boy, you know, all you have to do is just kind of tune into what's happening in our world. And like we see that parable that Kyle was talking about last week, we see that parable being lived out, that as the kingdom of God is growing, so is all of this other stuff. And like as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom, like what should we do about the tares? What should we do about the weeds? Like should we try to like pull them out, destroy them? And what Jesus says is that we cannot become preoccupied with trying to destroy all the weeds. First of all, it's impossible. Like that we will not be able to do that, that ultimately only God can do that, that we have to be focused on living out the kingdom, and that as we do, as we allow mercy to triumph over judgment in our lives, as we allow mercy to drive us, that not only are we changed by that, but the world is changed as well. Now this week, we're looking at two short parables of Jesus that are both from Matthew 13 that focus on this. They focus on the transformative power of the kingdom. It's the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And this is what Jesus says. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of the plants in the garden. It becomes a kind of a tree, so that the birds of the air actually come and perch in its branches. And he told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until that yeast had worked its way all through the dough. Now, both of the parables are about the power of the kingdom to change things. Both of these parables are about the power of the kingdom to radically transform things, to radically transform our lives, to radically transform our communities, to radically transform the world. It's about the power of the kingdom to radically change things. And what Jesus is saying here is that the power of the kingdom is not this explosive power, that typically the power of the kingdom is not seen as a kind of explosive power. It's not a power that sweeps in and all of a sudden everything is transformed. It's not a power that sweeps in and all of a sudden everything is changed. In fact, Jesus is saying that the kingdom is just the opposite of that. He's saying that the power of the kingdom is like a tiny mustard seed that is planted in the ground, and then over time it grows and grows and grows and grows until it becomes this very, very large plant. He says the power, the transformative power of the kingdom is like a little bit of yeast that is mixed in with all a large amount of flour, and then slowly over time it transforms the whole batch of dough. He's saying the power of the kingdom is like, it's a hidden power. The power of the kingdom is a power that is beneath the surface. It's out of sight. And then here's the other thing. Jesus is saying that the power of the kingdom is not an explosive power. It's not like a power that explodes all at once and then the power is gone. I mean, that's the nature, by definition, of explosive power. Is that with explosive power, all of that energy that is in whatever that thing is, a bomb or whatever it is, all of that power and energy that is in there, that what causes the explosion is that it gets released all at once. And then after all of that power gets released, it's gone. It's like the smoke bomb that my son Zach built when he was in junior high, is that he got a friend who was like into that, and he decided to like make a smoke bomb in our kitchen. And like Don and I thought it was awesome. Like we thought it was an awesome idea. That's how great a parents we are. Like we thought it was a fantastic idea. And so he got all the elements for it. And I think he got the recipe for it from like, it wasn't the internet then, it was like a friend. And I think the friend's in jail now. I'm not sure, but anyway. Anyway, no, he's not. And then he's probably watching online. A great friend, an awesome friend. But anyway, he took all of the ingredients and he put it in a container that maybe wasn't the right container, and things reacted with the container. And bottom line is that it exploded in our kitchen. And it nearly burned our house down. This is over on Chainbridge Road. But we got a new kitchen out of it, which was awesome and was really fantastic. But that's like that. That's what. There's more to that story, but I won't share it like right now. But that's an explosive power, like an explosion. All of the energy in that moment, it's like release. But then the power is gone. And Jesus saying, that is not like the transformative power of the kingdom. That the power of the kingdom is not like that. It's not an explosive power. It is a power that is constant. It's constantly at work. It is a power that is always growing. It's a power that's always permeating things, which means that the transformative power of the kingdom doesn't change things overnight. That the power of the kingdom, the transformative power of the kingdom, doesn't change people overnight. That it takes time. It grows within people. It permeates people. It slowly works its way in to the lives of folks. The Bible calls this transformative process of the kingdom changing us as being born again. Now, some of you grew up in churches where like that term got used, but sometimes I think sometimes in the churches where that term got used, that it got used in a way that just kind of says we're this kind of Christian, or we're like born again Christians, as if there's like categories of Christians, and there's like regular Christians and like awesome Christians and then like really awesome Christians and then like born again Christians that are like up there. And that's not the term born again. I mean, you hear that term throughout Scripture talking about the transformative power of the kingdom to change a life. I mean, listen to some of the passages in 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again. Talking about those who have come to faith in Jesus. You've been born again, not of perishable seed. Here's the connection between the seed that Jesus is talking about. It says the kingdom of God is like a seed, not with perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. And then James 1:18 says, he chose to give us what? He chose to give us birth, to be born again, to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And then John 3:5, where Jesus says, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom, right? No one can become a follower of Jesus. No one can become a citizen of the kingdom. No one can enter the kingdom unless he is born of water, talking about physical birth, and of the Spirit, talking about this spiritual rebirth, being born again. And the metaphor of birth is a great metaphor for what it means to come to faith, for what it means to enter the kingdom. And you know, there's all these different phrases that we have for becoming a follower of Jesus. You know, I mean, we talk about people being born again. We talk about people accepting Christ. We talk about people inviting Jesus into their life. We talk about people making a decision to follow Jesus. We talk about people entering the kingdom, becoming a citizen of the kingdom. And sometimes people get confused. They go, what do all that mean? They all mean the same thing. It's just different ways of talking about the very same reality, this reality of coming to this place in our life where we cross the line. And we go from death to life, and we go from the old to the new. I mean, it's just different ways of talking about it. And this metaphor of being born again is such a good metaphor for what it is like to come to faith. Because when you think about like birth and pregnancy and all the things that lead up to a child being born, all of that, you don't get pregnant and then all of a sudden, poof, like you have this baby. There's this 9-month process of growth, this 9-month process of development, this 9-month process of transformation. I mean, like every day that a child is being formed within its mother's womb, that there is change that is taking place. I mean, the change doesn't just happen on the moment that that child is born, on the day that child is born. Every day transformation is taking place up to the point of birth. Every day change is taking place up to the point of birth. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The actual birth of a baby is the culmination of a transformative process that's been going on for like 9 months, right? And I know for some of the women in our church who are like in their last trimester, it seems like a transformative process has been going on for 9 years. You know, it's just like a long time. But it's a process that's been going on. And Jesus is saying that the same thing is true when we finally cross the line and put our faith in him. When we finally enter the kingdom, that the decision to say yes to Christ happens in a moment. that there's a moment in which we go from death to life, that there is a moment in which we go from the old to the new, that decision to cross that line happens in a moment, but the transformative power of God that brought us to that moment, the transformative power of God that empowers us to live out this new life once we have crossed that line and become a follower of Jesus Christ, that happens over time. It's like a tiny mustard seed that just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's like a little bit of yeast that gets worked in to the dough, and it just keeps getting worked in and worked in. I want you to hear a really cool testimony today. It's the testimony of a guy in our church by the name of Anthony. And Anthony recently came to faith in Jesus Christ. He crossed that line. He became a citizen of the kingdom, and he was baptized. And I want you to hear his testimony. And we had to take a lot because it's an incredible story. But, you know, like for here in the service to kind of boil it down to 5 minutes or so. But I want you to listen because it's a story not just, I love these stories of people who have come to faith. And it's not just the story about like the moment they made the decision. Like that's part of the story, right? As I was at church, I made this decision, or someone was talking to me about Jesus and I explained it for the first time, I really understood it and made this decision. Like there's that part of the story. But then there's all of this part of the story that's about the seed, all this part of the story that's about the yeast at work, all this part of the story that's about God's transforming power at work in our lives, leading us up to that moment. Listen to Anthony's testimony.
Hi, my name is Anthony, and this is my story. You know, Easter, I felt it was very important to attend Mass and celebrate, but I had been very distant from church, hadn't celebrated for a number of years. I talked to my family that morning, and we ended up coming to Fairfax Community Church for the first time. You know, we got here right when the service started, so we walked in, and obviously it was a full church service. And we sat at the back, and the lights are down, and the music was on. And, you know, that was really the first thing that really caught my attention. There was a song that they played that, you know, I kind of feel like is a theme song that really I anchored myself in, resonates still with me. I play it, you know, anytime I get in my vehicle, it just comes on when my phone connects. So it kind of helps me to keep alive that day and just a constant reminder of, you know, let that shame and that feeling go. I mean, it was Glorious Days Passion song, or Passion's Glorious Days song. With all the turmoil, I guess, that I had going on in my life, just what I felt going on in life and the unanswered things that I didn't have before coming here, that day it said, calm, be calm, you know, engage this and let it happen. I was trying to make sense of it. It was like a reconciliation in my mind where I couldn't, I knew I had to come back to repeat the process, to come again, to understand it better. I knew that wasn't, you know, a one and done thing. I needed time to keep thinking through it. And every Sunday I just kept returning. Having my degree is in science and biology, so I was really wrestling it with a very logical mind and saying, well, how is it if somebody dies, how is that possible that somebody can be resurrected? So, you know, and I was kind of wrestling with that over probably a couple weeks, and I don't recall what, there was something that started it in my head. But this was one day, it's in June, and I'm just not myself that day. I just couldn't, you know, I felt this offness about it. And I'm internally just asking myself all these questions. And I just jumped in my truck and drove up here. And I'm looking around for somebody that works here. And you know, it's late in the day. It's probably 3-4 o'clock or something. And I just happened to see Marcy. And, you know, I don't know what she saw, but I don't know how I came across.
I first met Anthony one Friday when I was headed out of church. I was headed home for the day, but he was coming in looking to talk to a pastor. I quickly figured out that it wasn't just someone that he wanted to talk to, but he was really looking for answers to questions that he had about Jesus. He was anxious, he was confused, and he just really wanted to talk.
She was so appreciative of the questions, and she kind of validated that it's okay to ask questions. You know, I guess my past experience with the church was you don't really question, you just kind of do. And as an adult mind, that was hard to wrestle with. I mean, I needed to reconcile it, and Marcy just embraced my questions. And it was so reassuring to ask, you know, what is Jesus Christ? What does this mean? And how did it happen? How do you know? I mean, that was like the profound question. How do you know? That day, you know, Rod's again reassurance that you've paid for it already. Stop paying for it. Stop punishing yourself. Accept and believe, you know, God will embrace you. And, you know, it was time. You know, I had spent enough of the years kind of punishing myself and heading in the wrong direction. And God said, this is the direction. This is where you belong. This is where your heart belongs. And this is how you're going to get there. And so it was the start of the path and the journey. Kind of that's where, you know, I didn't know what was leading all up to it. Prior to that, but hindsight, it makes perfect sense. All the struggles, all the pain, all the disappointments, it was just leading up to that day of letting it all go and embracing it. It was a safe community, brilliant energy around, and you know, all of the connections that I had started to make inside the church. Everything's timing. Again, it was all about timing, perfect timing. I had to take action. I mean, I figured it out. I've already leaped over the chasm. I've put my faith in it. It only seemed like natural progression. So again, it was just 10 days out, so it was perfect timing. And I had to do it. And to me, that's what my heart wanted to do. It's what my head wanted to do. And I could stop controlling things, and to me, it really affirmed wiping my past clear and starting anew with my new relationship with God.
Isn't that an awesome story? So what I love about Anthony's story is that, you know, in some respects, everyone's story is unique, everyone's story is different, but in another way, everyone's story is the same in that it's the story of God's faithfulness and transformative power in our lives. The seed that just continues to grow, the yeast that continues to permeate, And we keep showing up. I love the fact he said, I just kept showing up. We just keep showing up, and God keeps working. We keep asking questions, and God keeps working. We keep talking to folks like he talked with Marcy and others, and God just keeps working. And through that leads us to this point where we cross the line, where we make that decision to follow him. Now, as I mentioned, the transformative power of God that's at work in our lives that brings us to faith, that allows us to be born again, that allows us to enter the kingdom, is the same power that's at work in our lives after we decide to follow Jesus. And it works the same way. It works like a mustard seed, slowly over time. It works like yeast, slowly over time, worked into the dough. It takes time, which means that transformation, as I said, it doesn't happen overnight. We may be raised to life in Christ. We may have died out to our old sinful nature and been made a new person in Christ. But it doesn't mean that all of the change happens immediately. I mean, what baptism, what we're going to be celebrating this weekend, and I talk about this every time we have a baptism, is that the very act of being baptized celebrates not only what Christ has done for us. Every time a person is put under the water, they're right back up, it celebrates the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. It celebrates what Christ has done for us, but it also celebrates what Christ has done in us, that when we cross that line, when we become a citizen of the kingdom, when we say yes to Jesus, that we die out to our old sinful nature, and we become a new person in Christ, a brand new person in Christ. But just because we have been raised to life in Christ, just because we have been made a new person in Christ, doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of the old stuff goes away. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of the old habits go away. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden all the old behaviors go away. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of the old attitudes go away. That is a process that happens over time. Now, most of us don't like that. Why? Because we're Americans. Like, we don't like anything that takes time, that by definition, we are impatient. We want things to change. We want them to change now. We want what we want, when we want it. Like, that's just the way that we're wired. Even when it comes to our spiritual faith, like, we want things to happen, like, all of a sudden. But Jesus is saying that's not the way the kingdom of God works. It takes time. But if we allow the seed that God has planted to continue to grow, if we allow God to continue to work that yeast into our lives, we will change. We'll see transformation taking place in our lives. Think about it. If a mustard seed has a head-on collision with a slab of concrete, who wins? The concrete always wins. But if you stick a seed underneath a sidewalk and you give it a few years to grow, no contest. The seed wins. It will ultimately crack and destroy the side. My wife, I preached this sermon, you know, last night, and my wife was here last night, and she was out on a walk today, and she sent me this picture right before I came into the service. Here's the picture. She goes, good point, honey. Like that's in our neighborhood. It's like a little seed, right? And there's the asphalt and all that, much more powerful. But over time, the seed always wins. Over time, the seed will destroy whatever is in its way. Jesus saying that's the transformative power of the kingdom at work in your life. And the same thing with the yeast. You can have a tiny bit of yeast and a whole bunch of dough, but it doesn't matter. If you keep working the yeast in, you give it enough time, the yeast will completely permeate and transform the dough. Jesus is trying to say something really profound here, folks. He's trying to help us understand the power of the gradual. And we don't get that sometimes. The power of the gradual. We like the power of the immediate. We like the power of the big. We like the power of the explosive. We want to see that power. But he's talking about the power of the gradual, that there's a power in transformation that takes place gradually over time. It's not as visible as explosive power. It doesn't grab our attention the same way that explosive power grabs our attention. But the power of the gradual is much more transformative than the power of the explosive. So don't get discouraged. Like, if you've crossed the line, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Savior, you've become a new person in Christ, don't get discouraged if you're still struggling with some old stuff. If you're still struggling with some old attitudes, you're still struggling with some old behaviors, you're still struggling with some old habits. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation. It doesn't mean you're not serious about all of this. It just means that the mustard seed that God has planted needs to keep growing. It means that the yeast that God is working into your heart and into your soul needs to keep being worked in. And how does that happen? Well, it happens, and this is the other thing. We don't like to talk about the power of the gradual, like we want the immediate, but here's the other thing. It happens through the sacredness of the mundane. That's how it happens. How does this transformative power of God work itself out in our lives where we actually start becoming more and more like Jesus? where we actually start becoming more and more a reflection of Christ. It happens through the sacredness of the mundane. Mundane things. Like stuff that you hear and you go, oh yeah, I've heard it before. Like, give me something more exciting than that. No, no, mundane things, the sacredness of the mundane. Reading God's word on a daily basis. Just exposing yourself to the word of God. And you say, yeah, I tried that. Like, and nothing like really like explosive happened. Like, I thought I would open up the word of God and like something like would happen. Like God would speak, an angel would sing, and you know, all the kind of stuff that would happen. No, no, it's the sacredness of the mundane is that God's transformative power happens over time. That is the accumulative impact of all of this stuff that on the surface itself kind of seems mundane. Like the sacredness of the mundane, like praying. Like that when we pray, it's not that every time we pray that we feel like God is like right there. It's not that every time we pray that we feel like there's some breakthrough that we have with God. It's just it's the sacredness of the mundane. It's the sacredness of things like coming to worship. You know, when we talk about people, you know, we say, hey, order your lives so that every week, like, you are gathering with the people of God to worship. Like, you're coming together with the people of God to worship. Like, we're not saying that out of a legalistic sense. We're not saying that out of a sense of, like, hey, if you don't do that, your salvation is in jeopardy, all that. None of that. We're saying that out of the fact that that's the way God transforms us. It's the accumulative effect of things. Like, if you're looking, and sometimes people, like, they go to church, they say, well, nothing special that week. Like, there was nothing, like, you know, Rod was average and the music was a little off, and I didn't like feel the presence like I did the week before. Like, the presence of God was there. I didn't feel like the presence of God. And so we're rating the event based on explosive kind of stuff because we think that it's the explosive stuff that will change us. No, no, no. It's the sacredness of the mundane. It is the accumulated impact of worship. You will not be changed by one worship service. You will not be changed by just a casual exposure. You will be changed by the accumulative effect of worship in your life. Same thing with coming together with a group of people that your small group that you come together and pray together and talk about things that matter. You will not be changed by 5 weeks, folks. You will not. Like, you will not be changed. You say, oh, well, I thought I would make a great friend and nothing seemed to special happen. No, no, you are changed by the accumulative effect. It is week after week after week after week and month after month after month and sometimes year after year after year that God uses to change you. It's the power of the gradual and the sacredness of the mundane. That's how God transforms us. So what does all this mean? It means that God is always at work. He's always at work drawing us to Christ. And he's always at work helping us to grow in Christ. So surrendering your life to Christ is not some explosive emotional moment. You know that sometimes people procrastinate crossing the line. They procrastinate making a decision to follow Jesus because they're waiting on something. They don't know what it is, but they just think, something explosive should happen. That, like, in the explosiveness of that moment, maybe chills running up and down their spine, maybe angels singing, whatever it is, like in the explosiveness of that moment, then they'll say, that's when I'll cross the line. And sometimes people procrastinate that decision. Sometimes they spend their whole lives not really crossing that line, waiting for some kind of explosive thing to happen. But that what it means to cross the line and come to faith in Christ is simply surrendering your life to Christ, simply acknowledging the fact that God has been at work drawing you to himself, and finally, you have said yes. Because that's how God works. He works like a mustard seed. He works like yeast. And becoming a follower of Christ is just finally surrendering to the one who has been pursuing you, the one who has been at work within you. And for some of you, today is that day. Doesn't matter Doesn't matter what you have done. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter whether you're getting goosebumps in the moment. It doesn't matter the emotion that you have. It's like today's the day because God has been at work. Like a mustard seed in your life, like yeast in your life, he's been at work drawing you to him. And just waiting, waiting, waiting for you to finally say yes. Jesus, I say yes to what you've done for me on the cross. I say yes to your love. I say yes to your forgiveness. Yes to the fact that you can take my past and no longer allow it to control me or define me. You can secure my future. You can give me purpose right here in this moment. I just say yes to what you have been doing in my life. Some of you know that one of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis, and on the last page of the book Mere Christianity, where he just kind of defines what it means to be a follower of Jesus, on the last page, the last section, this is what he says: give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you'll save your life. Submit every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing, nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Not even your life. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. So look for yourself, and if you look for yourself, like if you are just trying to find yourself, look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred and loneliness and despair and rage and ruin and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him. And everything else you've been looking for, everything else will be thrown in when you look for Christ. God, we are so thankful for the power, the transforming power of the kingdom of God. And we're so thankful for the power of your work that is not simply momentary, but it's ongoing and continually. It never gives up on us. It draws us to you. And that when we say yes to you, it continues to grow within us, allowing us to become more and more and more like you. And so, Lord, I pray for those of us who have crossed that line and we need perhaps to just embrace the sacredness of the mundane and allow the accumulative effect of all of that to allow us to grow in our relationship with you. And for those of us who are here today, maybe watching online, maybe out in the great room, wherever, and we've not crossed that line, we've not said yes, but you've been at work in our lives. The seed has been at work. The yeast has been at work. And you've brought us to this point. I pray, Lord, that today is the day that we say yes. That for some of us who are here, they're just able to pray a simple prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your persistent, pursuing love that has never given up on me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for making me new. And I just say yes to that today. I know that there are things that need to be worked on. I know that there's old stuff, even in my newness, that you will have to transform. But I say yes to you today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a praise offering for... Okay, we're gonna have an awesome time in the next few moments. For those of you that, I talked to some folks who say, yes, our first time to be here for baptism. And I said, oh God, this is awesome. And here's what we're gonna do. If you're being baptized today or you're with someone that's being baptized, I want you to hold steady. Like, I don't want you to leave. We're gonna give you plenty of time to get out to the baptismal pool and all of that. I just want you to hold steady. And then in a minute, I'm gonna have you stand and we're gonna send you out. And as we send you out, we are gonna send you out celebrating God's transforming power in your lives and celebrating what God has done. We're gonna, I say it in every service, like we're gonna celebrate like the Redskins won. We're gonna celebrate like we would. For some of you that are old enough to imagine, celebrate like you did when the Redskins last won a Super Bowl. I know, like for some of you, I know you like it's on the History Channel. You have to go back. You have to find. But I want you to put yourself in that position. I want you to think about that. We're going to celebrate. So, like, we're just going to send you out with cheers and celebration. But here's the thing: as we celebrate, and I want you to give it everything you have. For those of you that maybe today you made a decision to cross that line. And God is saying, just go ahead and get baptized. Do you know that in the New Testament, every example of baptism took place immediately after a person had just accepted Christ? Like, there wasn't like baptism classes. There wasn't like, oh, I've got to go through some stuff. No, as soon as they came to Christ, they were baptized. And for some of you, you made that decision today, and God is just saying, say yes. And just be baptized. And for some of you, I know that there are some of you here that you said yes to Christ a long time ago, and God has been nudging and nudging and nudging, and you've just up to this point just said, oh, it's not the right time, and all my family here, it's not the perfect moment, all that. And God's just saying, hey, just say yes today. And like I said, everything is out there. You got stuff to change into, all the logistics taken care of. As soon as you walk out, there'll be folks there that answer all your questions, tell you where to stand, where to get changed, all that kind of stuff. All you have to worry about is just saying yes in this moment. And so as we send everyone out, the hardest thing that you'll have to do is just take a step from where you're standing out to that lobby and be in obedience to God. Let's stand together.